Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Monday, April 15th, 2024, coming right up. This is it, man. This is called Hate Speech Now. We're in Romans chapter 1, part 2, starting at verse 22, going to verse 34 or 33 or something like that, into chapter 2. And this is what people do not want to hear. And the Canadian government is now calling this hate speech and passing a bill that's going to throw people like me, little white trash Mikey, sitting here all by himself in front of a microphone, into jail for teaching this part of the Bible. Let's do it. Let's let it rip. We don't back down from nothing here. God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by and to get back into harmony with his universe. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to try to change God's word for your convenience, then you're in a heap of hurt. Or maybe you're not, because in the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, it says you'll be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. You don't like God's institutional standards? Then you can go make up your own somewhere else. And God says it's just a lake of fire. Lake just means harbor or haven. And fire just means the internal passion of the mind. Let's watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And we got to verse 22 and 23. Romans chapter 1. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creepy things. Now we know the glossary for this goes back to a couple of verses ago, so that we're without excuse. The glossary for this goes to Acts chapter 10, verse 12. And we know what uncorruptible God means. God is an everlasting, never-ending energy. When you say the word corruptible, it means something that's going to decay. Like these flesh bodies decay. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It's entropy. It just gets transformed into something else. We go back in the dirt. We're pushing daisies. We still energy still. And then it'll just go into the universe. But your spirit, your psyche, the intellect of your soul, you notice there's no word for intellect in the Bible. You don't see the word intellect in the Bible. It just means your spirit. That's your personality, your character. This is a closed energy system. It's like your sense of agency, feeling of agency, judgment of agency. Be careful. Don't let anybody corrupt it through their research impact to try and change your ability to think critically or independently. This closed energy system goes somewhere when you die. You notice the word information is not in the Bible either. But the word light is. Jesus Christ is the light of life. He is that unique light giver. He is the light. He is the truth, that great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. Man's image, what mankind thinks they can govern themselves by, money, political systems, mainstream media, to change your religious authority. Hey, there's the force, first force sealed trumps and vials right there. Okay. Like unto corruptible man. Yeah, we're going back in the dirt. And so are all our ideologies outside of God's word. They're going into that lake of fire where you guys can have it. And they'll just intensify and escalate until you're just inconsolable. Because it's a paradox of impossibilities. Well, we're back in a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And we've prayed for you people the whole time. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cannot reconcile irrational people who have made an image in their mind who they think God should be outside of this promises written in the councils of eternity right here. The only consistent thought pattern, the only principled set of beliefs. You either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, then just go play somewhere else. Why don't you leave us alone? No, they're trying to attack us now through the Canadian government. Hey, they're going to push that bill through. And people like me are going to end up. When we're going through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you see, they're going to throw you in prisons. That was just like the prison where they're going to shut you up. The prison of, they'll slander you. Or they will, discredit you. Insult, shame, villainize, lie against you. And then you're back on your heels. And they will, it's the dynasty of censorship. They'll censor you. They'll censor the truth through slander. But I never really thought about, hey, an actual physical prison. You know, where you're sitting there playing cards, waiting for your food tray. Hey, tea, where's my tea? You know what I'm saying? Okay. But they're actually going to throw us in literal prisons. Okay. Yard up. Right? Okay. So, and all these things, birds, four-footed beasts, creepy things. We go to Acts chapter 10 and we realize we're talking about commodities. That's how it worked. And they had all this stuff and things that they're worshiping. Worshiping God's creations and what mankind's done with them. Just blasphemy. And not the creator himself, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served creature more than creator. Maybe I should read the Bible more and stop commenting more, because that's the next line. The creator who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. I already answered this verse. Amen. Worship God, period. Not his creations. Never pray to an angel. You can say to your angel this, hey, angel, you're right there just beyond my current perception of physics. Please turn and face the Lord Jesus Christ to amplify my prayer. That's it. Okay? You pray to Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. And you mean it. That's a change of heart, a change of attitude towards the sin itself. Then your prayers will be heard. Surrender your entire existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you ask, Lord Jesus Christ, all my love, my trust, my thanksgiving, all my worship, all my praise belong to you and through you to Father. Amen. And amen means that is that. That's the most recognized word in all human language. Amen. There's nothing more to say. That's it. It's sealed. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. He said, go for it. I'm not going to violate the principles of free will, but you cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. And maybe you don't care about the consequences. God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into which is against nature. Like I said, we're going over all these words. Vile affections. Vile is atomia, and it covers both shameless and shameful. The subjective obviously is shameless. It's brazen. No shame about what he or she is doing. Here it's we're talking about women, but don't the next verse we're going on about men. No shame. Shameful is objective. An outsider observes actions that should inspire shame, but they can't say anything, or they're villainized or criminalized, which is happening now in Canada. Shameless activity becomes normalized because it becomes trivialized. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Just don't, you can't unsee this, okay? Be careful. I don't want to get too graphic here. This word use is cherished. Affections is pathos. Okay, let's just go. Affections literally means to suffer from affections of the mind. Passionate desires. That's the prison of sensual lust. You can get out of it. Hey, man, I can talk this stuff because I walked it. And I admit it. And Jesus Christ forgave me, so why can't you? Anyone rubs my face in this, I'm coming down on you. Don't you think? Prison of sensual lust. Who hasn't been there? It's a vice. Natural use forms a phrase here out of this verse. It forms a phrase. It's phusikos krisis. That means governed by the instincts of nature. The sexual use of, here, it's a female. But then we see the same word. Excuse me. And likewise, also men leaving the natural use. There's that word use again. It's sexual use of a woman, burned in their lust towards one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error that was meet. It was due. Listen, this is so graphic in the manuscripts, I can't even say it. But I'm gonna kind of go over a little bit. Likewise means in the same way, men, leaving the natural use, that's the sexual use of the woman, burned. This word burned here is only once in the manuscripts. It's ikeo. And it means set on fire with the glow of passion. In their lust. We just went over that word lust, the aggressive glow of passion. Boiling up inside. You can feel it. It's like a heat. It's your burning emotions, the internal passion of the mind. In their lust towards one another. Toward means actually means point of entry. Men with men working out which is unseemly. That's askemasuna. Askemasune. Biblical usage is a direct sexual reference relating to the deed itself. And receiving in themselves recompense, that's consequences of their error which is due. Okay, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Okay, this is a figure of speech that doesn't come through at all in this translation. This means you reject God and God rejects you. He wants you back. God wants his children back. All the angels rejoice when one of us repents. Okay, we're talking about lusty puppies here that just can't control themselves. They can't come back in the kingdom of heaven. They can't control themselves. They can't be trusted. This is what this next verse says. This verse, 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and that just simply means can't be trusted. They're going to do whatever they want. They're going to change their moral standards to whatever their lusty direct them to. and do those things not convenient. That's katheko, and that means just unacceptable. God gave us a set of institutional standards. He expects us to follow them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, we know that's unrighteousness, is normalized, unethical, immoral, dishonest behavior. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Listen, I have to go over every one of these words because they mean something much different in the original language manuscripts. And for us to understand chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, there's two words in here. They're just big words that we have to go over to help you understand chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. So let's just go over these words quickly here. And they mean something much different in the original language manuscripts. Remember, you have to study from, there's no such thing as an English Bible, there's no such thing as an English Quran. These are translations, and they're the two least translatable books into the English, and they're the most printed books on planet Earth, and the most best-selling books on planet Earth. You have to go back to the original language manuscripts and through the lexicons, because the English language cannot encapsulate the full sense, meaning the full expression of these words. And once you find out these keywords, you'll see patterns running through the Bible for interpretation and understanding, and that is God's glossary. Okay, God's not the author of confusion. Let's go over these words. Unrighteousness, again, normalized, unethical, immoral, dishonest behavior, because they trivialize it, and then they twist it. That's what Satan does, twist things. He casts doubt on the truth. Fornication, this is a big one. This is porn. This word fornication in the manuscripts is pornia. Porn, that's where we get pornography from. Illicit sexual activity, debauchery. It destroys family values that make humans humans. Pornography allows the worst impulses to thrive. And yeah, it's so true. I can talk it because I walked it. And there's a lot in my mind about pornography and the way and the moral decay of society. Morals is the benchmark for human virtue and human values. Pornography distorts lust from love. Listen, I was just told to stop being so preachy and more teachy, but this is important. It distorts lust from love. It corrupts what a loving relationship really is. Pornography corrupts the user's perception of others as sexual objects for personal gratification. Doing something to somebody instead of sharing something with somebody. There's a total absence of humanity building here. Now I'm just going to say it. The Rainbow Flag group of people are correct. You're absolutely right. Hey, peace, man. Okay? When they claim the flag stands for social change and liberation. You're right. Changing social standards to liberating and normalizing distorted sexual arousal patterns that overwhelm the reasoning center of the brain. Be brutally honest with yourself. And they have succeeded in normalizing sexually perverted trains of thought and behavior in our youth also. It is human nature that while being taught something, the student automatically converts verbal dialogue into a pictorial version in their mind. That's how Jesus Christ teaches us. That's how Satan's doing this, through the moral decay of society. It's the end of an empire. It's no surprise. United States. And this is what's happening here. It prompts young curiosities to explore morally repulsive sexual peculiarities through porn, such as homosexual, transsexual, bisexual. Why isn't it homo family, bi family? What's the other one? Trans family. Okay, I don't want to exclude anybody here. I tried to get all the letters together, but they're missing the letter H according to my Google search. I don't want to exclude anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Our youth don't have the mental capacity to understand sexuality. Period. I should know. I had a hockey coach that was a pedophile. I did not understand. He was just a shower diddler at 11 years old. I walked it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand why people 30 years later will come. I would just mock them. 30 years later, they come around and say, oh, I was sexually abused back in the 1980s or 1970s. I say, why didn't they say something back then? The whole time it was buried in me. Till one day, I saw me and Tammy watching the news. It was brutal. I don't even want to talk about this. 6 o'clock news, 2018. And then there's my hockey coach on TV charged with sexual crimes against children. They're asking people to come forward. I said, forget it. Imagine the burden that man had to carry. For all those years, 30 years that I repressed it, I didn't know why. I was hated white men. I have several reasons for not trusting white men. All those years of repressing it, and then there it was. I wasn't mad. I was just like, imagine the burden that guy's been carrying for 30 years, the prison of sensual lust. Can you imagine? Every time he drove past a hockey arena, or he was a hockey coach, or a playground, or a school, he was sexually aroused. What a burden. You can't walk amongst this, man. That's all there is to it. Off to jail you go. What do you think? Do you think our youth pursue pornography on their own accord? Now they have to walk across all these crosswalks and everything, and you have to explain it to them. Hey, this is about men fudge packing, and they're trying to call it love, okay? It's not. That's sodomy all day long. Or a hockey coach that's a diddler. He didn't hurt me. Probably nobody. Who knows? Who knows what he did in his 30-year pedophile career? Pornography creates a whole mental script on the developing brain, and it teaches the youth to do what they see in the videos. We didn't have pornography back then. We didn't have rainbow flags. We just had guys in vans or Trans Ams with big, huge mustaches like this that would go to the beer store for us when we were only 14, 15 years old. We couldn't figure it out. We didn't know. So enough of this. Enough of this pornography thing, the moral decay of society. We have to protect our children. Children are unable to give informed consent, okay? And now trying to change the sexuality in children. Hey, are you a little boy, are you a little girl? What are you? It doesn't matter, okay? Period. It doesn't matter how much synthetic hormones you dump into a human body. Your DNA will dictate what you are, a male or a female. Pornography, fornication, pornography. This is huge, man. Just huge. Illicit sexual activity. And to boot, right now, I'm asking, you know, for support for this registered nonprofit ministry. You know, just trying to get together $1,200. Want to promote God's word. There's electricity here, internet. I need 12. That's my budget for the month. Yeah, this is not even half of, what do you call it? The poverty. I don't even care. I live so far below the poverty line, it doesn't even bother me. But companionchapel.com, this is a registered nonprofit. All God's provisions go. All provisions go to God's purposes. God has a calling you to action. What are you sacrificing for the grace God has granted you? Let me tell you right now in this minute, of me saying, just go to companionchapel.com, or you can e-transfer. You can get a hold of me here at the Companion Chapel email. That minute that I'm just talking right now, 2.5 million people have visited the world's one largest pornography site, and they spent $3,000 a second. This is the moral decay of society. This is what Jesus Christ said. It'll be like the days of Noah. What was going on in the days of Noah? Listen, where was Noah's flood, first of all? Well, it was up here in the Turin Lowlands. Okay, what was going on there? It's the only place on planet Earth where you have six major rivers running into the lowlands. Every other place on planet Earth, they run out to the sea. Shem's well is still there. Moral debauchery was going on. Illicit sexual activity, attacking the truth by changing people's thought patterns, changing people's religious authority, and puts people in a cult. And the only cult people never see is the one they're in. You have to program yourself from that cult, get your extra counseling from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's get on with this here. That's a big one, fornication. Okay, wickedness, okay, panero. I mean, we know this word. This is the noun for paneros from Revelation 16:2. When it says, noisome grievous sore right on your soul, that's kekos paneros. Noisome grievous sore right on your soul for those who have the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast just means your thoughts, your intents, your actions. It would have made no sense if it wasn't 666. Six is the number of man. We're not getting into that right now. Kekos paneros. Kekos means evil thoughts and intentions. It's translated noisome. And grievous is paneros. It's translated grievous, and that's evil purposes and desires, your actions. That's what wickedness means here. So where are we? We're on verse 29. Paul's not pulling any punches here. This is all divine revelation, not man's imagination. Covetousness is planoxia. Greed covers, this is greed and covers greed in every way, including passive aggressively, fraud, extortion, oppression. Hey, ultimately it's rich white man running a Ponzi scheme on society. And people say, I'm not invested in a Ponzi scheme. The best hours of the best days of the best years of your life are just making rich white men more rich. And then once you get up in the Ponzi scheme, you'll go to a corrupt bank and they'll say, hey, give us that money back and we'll make you more money. Because we invest in anything as long as there's a return. Who's at the bottom of the Ponzi scheme? Child labor, labor exploitations, human rights violations. All's become normalized. Wars just become normalized. And we're not going to get too much more into that right now. That's what covetousness is. And it also, God has a way out for you, by the way. And you're not going to like it. It's not going to be a check for $1 million. It's not going to be like a gold road down to, you know, a car dealership. Covetousness also covers the spirit of stinginess. God expects you to donate something that you cherish to prove you're not a coveter. Okay, we know what covetousness is. Okay, malicious. This is spite. This is grudges, animosity, taunting, ill will, gloating, blaming, pointing fingers. Oh, these are just wonderful characteristics. Now start to understand why these things are all written here so that we can understand chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Then these people walk amongst us. Envious, phthonos, and that's jealousies. Jealousy. What a wasted emotion. What the bully of all emotions. Jealousy and envy. It just takes and it gives nothing back. It thrills the messed up mind. It's a messed up crime to have that in your household. Hey, let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 27. And see what they say about jealousy. And watch the grammatical construct about what jealousy really means. And you'll be surprised because you feel it. What did I say? Proverbs 27:4. About jealousies. Wrath is cruel, obviously. Anger is outrageous, the two trademarks of evil. But who can stand before envy? That's jealousies. The Hebrew etymology of the words that make up this verse mean to conceive within yourself a poison. You've made it up. It's your insides burn, turn, creating a sickly poison, and you feel like you have a belly of curdled milk. I've been jealous. You've been jealous. We've all been jealous. We know what that spirit feels like. It's just absolute evil. The story people made up, it's fueled by the imagination, overflows the person like a deluge. Have you ever seen people when they're jealous and they got this narrative and they can't let go of it? It's based on nothing but their imagination. And it floods others. No one can defend themselves against a lie that someone has put forth with the trademarks of evil. Their imagination, fueled by evil, anger, aggression, arrogance, egotism, weak people are jealous. And that's all there is to it. Murder is fanyats, and we always remember that's premeditated murder to kill somebody. But biblical usage also includes killing the truth. That's slander. Debate is eris. It's arguing when your argument never holds up to closer scrutiny. And we see these people. Oh, did that latest medical emergency created a laboratory construct released ever put this out in the open debate? Fact-checking hypothetical situations because you've had an idea inoculated in you, because psychological warfare is brainwashing menticide on your sense of agency. They know what they're doing through research impact to change your judgment of agency, declaring finalities on hypothetical situations. Your argument never holds up to closer scrutiny, but when these geniuses come forth and they have these catchphrases that mainstream media has trained them to throw out, pre-approved catchphrases, never more than 5 words, never more than 10 syllables, and they'll sit there on their moral high horse. And now a lot of them are just absolutely mortified with what's lingering, living and thriving in every tissue of their body. Hey, we pray for the whole human family. We pray for the whole human family. Deceit is guile. Let's go to no guile, no malice, no corruption was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things weren't found in him, because if they were found in him, the kingdom of heaven would not be legit. It would not be valid. And don't you think otherwise. Satan hyper-focused temptation on the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the lowest earthly position for us. He was born in a barn. Satan focused on him, trying to get him to sin once. If Jesus Christ would have sinned once, then the kingdom of heaven would not be valid. It would not be legit. We would have no way out. We would have nobody to say, can you please forgive us at a judicial level and allow us judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven? Because only you did not sin, my Lord Jesus Christ. You took the lowest earthly position for us. You took the stripes for me. You laid down your life for me. You paid a price for me. None of us could pay that. Not even close. Guile, malice, ulterior motive, sly cunning, insults, shame, villainizing, discrediting others, keyboard tough guys, plotting against others for personal gain, connivory, and scorekeepers doing things grudgingly, don't do anything unless it benefits them. And you know what happens to those people? They end up bitter and alone, fretting about things, trying to prove others wrong all the time. Never coming to an understanding. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. We've come to an understanding of others. It's a place of understanding and completeness. That's what the word Jerusalem means. When it says God is coming down as a new Jerusalem, it doesn't mean this hellhole here over in what's called Israel now since 1948. Jerusalem, the etymology of the word, a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, a place of perpetual friendship. We can trust everybody. Giving for others, sacrificing for others. Not this despiteful vindictiveness, this malice, instigating others into confrontation, ill will feelings towards others, pointing fingers at somebody, always looking to blame every time something goes wrong. Hey, when's the perfect world? Let me know. Malicious gossip, animosity, quitters too. That's how you fail. People only fail through one thing, by quitting. Failure should be constructive. Failure means that you just learn how not to do it the next time. You learn from failure. We have to fail. Willingness to be dishonest for personal gain. Okay, you know, the list goes on. What one was that? I'm looking for, that was deceit, dolos. This is the big one here, malignity. This is kakaethia. This means bad character. This is a big one. This includes the enemy within. This is like when you say, do you think it's really in that person to do it? Would they really screw you over? Would they really do that? In business meetings, like you wonder, I know someone in my family got ripped off $75,000. I was like, do you really think it's in that person to do it? Well, I hope not. Well, guess what? You can't trust mankind. Jeremiah 17:5, you can't trust these people. Never give people the benefit of the doubt unless you damn well know them. You can't trust people. It's in them to do it. That's scary. Do you think that person's really going to do that? It's in them to do it. Malignity goes along with despiteful, but we're running whisperers first. Whisperers, thistis. Means a slanderer. It's like saying Nikesh. Who's the first slanderer in the Bible? The Nikesh. It's translated serpent, but it should have been translated enchanter. It's an onomatopoeic word. It just sounds like it, like a snake, so that's how they translate it, serpent. But it'll sting you, it'll bite you with a deadly poison. Enchanter, the same, when you allow to enchant you through a screen, through research impact. Hey, what is your human screen interaction is coming in you? It's meta. And meta in the Bible's on, in the, anyways. It's a Greek preposition to mean to walk amongst your mental disposition, to change your thought patterns, your religious authority. Here we are, whisperers, enchanters. They walk amongst us to gain trust. That's scary. That's scary. There's someone going around the county right now stealing everybody's shit. And there's a couple of guys, right? And my buddies are like, hey, you're just in here drinking beer with us. They seem like good people. They walk amongst us to gain trust. When they're sitting there with us, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, they're looking. There's a chainsaw. There's a wood splitter. There's an ATV. He's got a gun collection. What else has he got? Let's see, a side-by-side. That's what they're doing. They walk amongst us to gain trust. And my friends are like, he seems all right. Yeah, what's he supposed to do? Wear a little, like Hamburglar mask and be doing this and looking around. He's looking at the cameras. He's looking, hey, okay, I'm going to try and get this guy's schedule. He's going away that weekend. All right, I can get down here in the night. I'm going to steal his shit. Yeah, they walk amongst us to gain trust. That's just horrible. And you can't trust people. Backbiters were in verse 30. Now it's trash talkers. Malicious gossipers, forbidden in the Bible. Remember Matthew chapter 5. Haters of God is one word. Theos tuskis. They hate God. insolent, arrogant people. Who cares? If you don't like this book, then you just call it fiction, make up your own God, and you can go play somewhere else. That's it. I don't know why you have to come down on us so hard. This is the thing. Me and Tammy saved up money through campaign like this, and we finally got to $600. It took us a long time. This was 3 years ago. We finally got $600 together. And we're not going to increase our lifestyle. And you can come out here and see the Companion Chapel Homestaying Community. And yeah, we live in grinding poverty. We want to get the word of God out there to a hurting world. We went and had all these flyers made up for a Bible study. Hey, we found a furniture store in town. They'll accommodate a Bible study. That's awesome. All right. So we've all these flyers, $600 worth of flyers to the post office. The postman delivered them to everybody in that town over there. I think 1,000 people. Okay, so how many people showed up for the Bible study? One. Down the road, they're having a drag queen. I don't know what you call it, contest or show. I don't know what the hell you call it. Sold out. Line up down the street. Just like Lot and his wife and his daughters. And then the angels are in there. And who's at the door? They can't. They're just trying to get in the door so bad. The moral decay of society. It's the same. There's nothing new under the sun. What did God do? God used that rainbow to say, I'm not flooding you guys out anymore. You're on your own. You can have it. And then, but when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, which we're going to cover right now, verse 32, we'll get there in a second. Inventors of evil. Oh, haters of God. Yeah, you don't like God's word, then go play somewhere else. Yeah, that's what you're doing. The drag queen show in that little tiny town and little tiny town over are sold out. The Bible study, one person. Not including me and Tammy or the dude that owns the furniture store, which is gone now. The Bible study's over because nobody cared. But we're doing our best. We're washing our hands from all these people and we're praying for them constantly. They're laughing and pointing at us. Go for it, man. I'm way more trouble than it's worth. Not the biggest guy, not the toughest guy. Who cares? Who cares about little Mikey here? We cheered the corrupt show. And then a woman came over with it on her phone and tried to show me. You tell me why this is so hateful. And I said, get out of here, man. Drift. Get out of here. Right? I'm not kidding. She filmed it and brought it for me to see. I said, what's so hateful? Why do you hate this? I don't hate nothing. You can just go play somewhere else. Don't impose your sexual thought patterns on me. Do you want me to pose my, and then parade them around? If I impose my sexual thought patterns on society, and I want to parade it around, it'll be the most boring 2-minute parade you've ever seen. I don't want you to impose your sexual thought patterns on me. Why can't you keep it to yourself, you crotch rat fornicators? You just, and you can call us whatever you want, okay? Despiteful. Hubristes. This is a big one. This goes with malignity. And it's when someone thinks they're better than somebody else. They trash talk them and then they do something bad to that person. And this covers contrite heart. Contrite heart is one of those sad words in the Bible. It's when somebody maliciously stomps on somebody. They gain their trust and then they stomp on their heart. It just, every time I read that phrase in the Bible, you don't find it in English, maybe you'll find it, but what it really means, somebody's got their heart out there, they trust you, they love you, and then you just turn around and stomp it. That's brutal, absolutely brutal, brutal. That's inventors of or that's despiteful. Inventors of evil is two words, ephiorestes, and it's keikos. Keikos paneros, we just went over keikos. That's evil thoughts, intents, and this means they try to find something on you or make it up. This is inventors of evil and try to exploit you. We know these people. They walk amongst us. They're just looking for something. They're looking for a weakness. It's just like when they come. That's on morals and to try and exploit it. And then when you get together, these morally corrupt people, they look for a weakness in society. They look for a little tear in the fabric of society that they can exploit to pursue their agenda, which nobody wants to hear. Nobody cares what you do with your crotch, man. But for some reason, it's paraded around, and you've changed. It's overwhelming. Let's go to verse 31. Verse 30. Okay, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That's straightforward. Disobedient to parents. Should have been the next verse. Disobedient to parents without understanding. Covenant breakers. Remember, we're supposed to obey our parents. Without natural affection. implacable, unmerciful. Without natural affection is one word in the manuscripts. It means to be mean to your family members. And implacable means impossible to get along with. Toxic people never change themselves. They just change their victims. And they like it. That's why it says you're comforted in other parts of the earth. Because you can't, that's what you get your little feeling of empowerment from. You like humiliating others and marginalizing others and belittling others and shaming others. Mocking, discrediting. The power of a mocker always lies with an accusation, never fact. Don't worry about it. God's judge. We don't judge. We just try to say, okay, I don't want this person around me. Okay? Implacable, unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do the same. Yeah, I got a chicken right beside me. There's no doubt. She's broody. She's a little silky. And she's sitting on a lot of eggs, but they get like this. They start walking around fussing when they got a crunch of shit. Because they only do that once a day instead of 12 times a day. So I gotta watch that she doesn't fly up on me here. Anyways, okay, let's get this over. Worthy of death. Death in the manuscripts never denotes non-existence. You're going to exist somewhere. You're going to have a conscious existence. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Your personality, your character goes somewhere when you die. Conscious existence with God or a conscious existence in another parts of the earth where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. And you'll like it there because you don't like God's rules now. So what are you complaining about? I don't understand. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. They recruit others. Let's finish this up. Isaiah chapter 3. Just to hammer this home, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. You know what I'm going to talk about here. Let's do this. Word of God. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. The glow. The aggressive glow of passion of their barnyard. The glow. And they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. They don't care. So you can go play somewhere else. If that's the way you want to carry on, that's fine. Again, God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by and to get back into harmony with His universe. If you don't like them, God says, that's fine. Go play somewhere else. I got a place for you. God is fair. God wants no injustice to His creatures, His creations. It wouldn't be fair to continue in a world like this forever because it's nothing but hell and God's not making a new hell. Their sin is Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. You get what you want. Maybe you don't perceive it as evil, but the Bible just says it's evil because it's to us, it's just inexcusable conduct. And let's let Paul say it. Therefore, thou art excused. Hey, man, there's no excuse for you. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We'll get to chapter 2 tomorrow. I want to thank you very much for watching. Please consider the Companion Chapel. It is a registered nonprofit ministry, whatever God gave a talent to you. God expects you to use it in the many-member body of Christ. Companion Chapel Homesteady Community is here. This is your way out. There's no rent here. There's no mortgage. You come out here and we make a homesteading community. There's 77 acres of land here. You put a trailer and you make it work. No, we're not going to be millionaires. We're not going to be driving brand new vehicles. It's not going to be the Taj Mahal. But it's going to be a place of trust, a place of peace. And we have a consistent thought pattern, and it starts right here. The people that have come out to the Companion Chapel Homesteading Community in the last couple of years didn't understand. It starts here. God's consistent thought pattern, God's principled set of beliefs. Bible study is obviously mandatory. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself a great day, and bye for now.